In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. And we're just going to leave it there. That my clicker doesn't work tonight. It was going to be so cool. So cool, and my knees are shot tonight, so I need to get this. But once again, Merry Christmas. I hope you all are having, we have it working. I hope you are all having a wonderful Christmas season. I hope you all have found true hope, peace, love, and joy. And I use the word true because it is only through Christ that we can find true hope, peace, love, and joy. I've been listening to a sermon series by this guy named Andy Stanley. Some of you may have heard of him. And he said something that I think we can all agree with, at least to some extent. He said, "You know who I hate?" Okay, hate is a strong word. "Do you know who I have a hard time not hating? People who hurt or people who mistreat my children." I mean, if you're a parent, you're like, yeah. There are some people out there that you just want to hate. And I've been lucky because I have three kids, and for us, it's nothing really that extreme. It's that unfair teacher who just doesn't get it. And if you're a teacher, you're thinking, no, you're the unfair parent who just doesn't get it. It's that coach who kept playing their son instead of my son, because my son is obviously better. I'll tell you the people who I have the hardest time, though, hating. It's some of my own kids' friends. I would see my kids' friends, and they're taking advantage of my kids. They're mistreating my kids. They're setting my children up for failure. They're stabbing them in the back, or they're saying things. And I'm telling you, I find it so hard sometimes to not be mad at these 12-year-olds. And my wife, she's just shaking her head at me saying, "Andy, she's only 12. And I know, but anyone who mistreats my kids. And here's the thing. If you mistreat my kids, there's no point in trying to make peace with me. If you hurt my kids, there's no point trying to come to me to talk with me. If you hurt my kids, there's no point in trying to be nice to me. If you've done one of these things or something to one of my children, you can buy me all the gifts you want. You can give me all the money you want. You can sing me songs and praise my holy name. But there is nothing you can do for me to compensate for mistreating one of my kids. But the reverse of that is true. I'm telling you, the best thing you can do for me is to do something for my kids. The most honoring thing you can do for me has nothing to do with me. The most honoring thing you can do for me is to love on, or to show honor to, or respect to, or to do something for one of my kids. It's the strangest thing. And I heard Andy saying this, and I thought, it really isn't the strangest thing. It's something I think most of us, well, almost all of us, can agree to. If you hurt or mistreat one of my kids, it is really going to be hard for me not to hate you. And I get it, hate is a strong word, but I hope we're getting the point here. I mean, after last weekend, you know, it came to my head this week as I was thinking about the service for tonight, and what popped into my head was Kevin File walking in at the beginning of last Sunday's service carrying this load of presents, shouting his grumpy version of Santa Claus's ho, ho, ho. There it is. When I arrived at home after the service, Karen and I fed the kids. We put Nate down for his nap, and we sent Lydia up to her room for quiet time. And I started to open up that bag of presents, and I realized that probably more than 90% of those presents were for my kids. And I had a tear in my eye, literally. And I'm not a guy who cries much. But the way my kids are loved on here, that's special. The way my kids are loved on here at this church brings me joy. Knowing my kids are shown what a true community of believers looks like. This love that is shown amongst the members here at Parkman Congregational Church, it's something my children are witnessing. And it's not just these Christmas gifts. It's the way you allow me to spend time with my kids. It's the way you all know my kids and you talk to my kids. My kids are shown so much love here. Now, don't get me wrong, though. Love doesn't just end there. If my kids start acting up and behaving, well, you know, troublesome, showing my kids love also means calling them out. Showing my kids love means disciplining them and letting Karen and I know what's going on so that we can correct this situation. Love is both being gracious to someone, but it is also coming with full-on truth as needed. The reason why this illustration, though, this concept of a father's love, a parent's love for their children, stuck out to me is because we are celebrating tonight the coming of our Lord and Savior. It is during this time of year, on this specific night, churches all around the world come together to celebrate that our Lord stepped down from heaven, was born of a virgin, and walked this earth. He stepped down, he talked to people, he taught people, he healed people, and he pointed people in the direction of their Lord and Savior, of our Lord and Savior. And even though he did this, he was arrested, tried, and crucified by the very people Jesus came to save. And yet on the third day, we see that he rose again to fulfill Scripture. And it was for one reason and one reason alone. It was to bring humanity back into a proper relationship with our Lord. It was to bring humanity back into a proper relationship with himself. Because our God is an awesome God, and I think that is awesome. Our Lord is so good to us. And John's account of the Christmas narrative is a reminder to believers who our Lord is. Just look at what John says. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Just looking at how John starts off this gospel account is amazing, because it reminds us all of who God is. It reminds us that John had to write this book for a reason. John had to write the Gospel of John to remind believers who Jesus is. The Gospel of John is for us. Matthew, Mark, Luke, they're books that are written, they're Gospels that have been written to go out there and show non-believers who Jesus is. John's book is a theological gospel, and it draws us into a deeper understanding of God. John's gospel is for one purpose and one purpose alone. It's for those who are already believers, for those who already know that Jesus came into the world and that he was born of a virgin. That's why John doesn't start with that part here. And we've been told this already. Every one of us know that Jesus came to earth and was born of a virgin. John doesn't have to remind us. What he has to remind us is Jesus is the same from the beginning to the end. Jesus, since Genesis, and that's why this Apollo 8 video was so key for tonight, especially on Christmas, but Jesus, since Genesis, has been trying to point us back to God. Jesus has had this whole thing planned out from the beginning. Christmas Eve, coming to earth. Jesus had to come. Our Lord and Savior had to step out from heaven to make things right. He had to step down to earth to bring us into a true relationship with him. Because since the fall, man has tried to go about things on their own. And because of this, they've turned their backs on God. It's why John goes on, "The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." From the beginning, from Genesis, man has turned their backs on God. All you have to do is look at Exodus. I mean, after Exodus, God delivers his people from Egypt. He fed them for 40 years in the wilderness. He made it so that their clothes did not wear out. And what happens to his people? They turned their backs on God as soon as they had the land. They tried to do things their own way only to cut God out of their lives. Let's go down a little more history. Even after God gave them a king because they wanted a king instead of their own Lord, they turned their backs on God, and most of those kings were horrible to the nation, which caused their eventual exile to Babylon, once again being kicked out of the promised land because they continued to turn their backs on the Lord. And even after returning to the promised land, they turned their backs on God because Jesus is born. He was born fulfilling all the promises of the Old Testament. Even Herod's wise counsel knew where the Messiah was going to be born. It's why Herod went on a rampage to kill all the children in that little town. Why? Because the people of God turned their backs on God. And even when Jesus walked the earth teaching, doing miracles, we see that people still don't want to believe. They thought it was going to be easier to kill Jesus because in the minds of the religious elite, why do we take our chances on this guy who might not be God when we have it so good here now under Roman authority? This is why the Gospel of John's account of our coming, of the coming of our Lord and Savior, is so powerful. It reminds those who are proclaimed followers of Christ how far we've fallen and what God desires for us. It reminds us that God created the world and he created it for us. It reminds us that Jesus is the Lord of Lords and that we desperately need a relationship with our Lord because we are so blind. We follow the ways of the world too often. And John goes on, "Yet to him who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another.'" Jesus had to come to earth, and he had to do it in a form of a child for one reason and one reason alone. He came to bring us back into communion with our Lord. And true communion with God means peace, hope, love, and joy. It means bringing this into a lost world where there is so much hurt and sorrow. Bringing love, peace, hope, and joy into a world that is desperately seeking a Savior. This is why when you first came to know Jesus, when Jesus first opened your eyes, you began to see that there was some hope out there. You began to understand what love truly looks like, and you started to sense peace in your heart. And you began to follow it with faith. Because as we've discussed throughout this past year, faith is not a thing we think. It's not in our heads. It's not a philosophy. Faith is an action. It gets you out there and going. Jesus had to come. Jesus had to come because it was planned from the beginning of creation, and he did it to bring full truth and full grace to his people. We need a Lord. And it's stronger than that. We desire a Lord who cares about us. We desire a Lord who understands our pains, who understands our sorrows. We desire a Lord who wants to meet our needs, and this is the stuff we love. We love about God. We love the grace stuff. We love to hear sermons that make us feel good about ourselves, but, and here's the kicker, we need to understand we are so much like the children of God who were coming out of Egypt after the Exodus. Don't forget, God did all of the miracles. Don't forget, God parted a sea. And don't forget, God gave them manna for 40 years, and we find them still complaining and arguing amongst one another. God desires us to have total obedience. And with that total obedience, God will do the rest. But because of man's lack of obedience, because we don't trust and we don't want to hear the truth of God, man has suffered since the beginning, since the fall. This is why the Israelites, this is why we're just like them. We're blind. We're stubborn. I know I'm stubborn. It's why we like the inspirational speakers who make us feel good about ourselves, because we desire to feel good about ourselves. And it's why we don't like to hear the pastors who bring truth, because truth requires something of us. Remember, Jesus, dude, that is that Connor? That's awesome. What's up, dude? Kids. Remember, Jesus came full on truth and grace, and you can't have truth without the grace. You can't have grace without the truth. You can't have one with without the other, and John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." You know, one of the cool things about growing up congregational and kids, we have this responsibility of like training them in the ways of the Lord, just like the Lord trains us. You know, you guys understand what I'm saying? Like the Lord, the more we dig into the grace and the truth, and I'm totally off script now, this is awesome. The more we dig into the grace and truth, the more we start understanding the heart of our Father. And one of the cool things about congregational churches is, God will sometimes call us into account. In a really old school congregational church, what they have here, they have these things, and if you walk into them, there are these doors that swing shut at the end of every pew. And you know what it's for? We're in a farm community. It's not just for your kids. It's for your animals. God cares about us, and the church used to be okay with people just bringing their animals into church in the winter so their animals wouldn't freeze. Why? I don't think the animals need to hear the gospel, but maybe they do. And our scripture here is pointing out to the fact that John came to testify to Jesus. John came, and so many others since Christ walked the earth, have come for one reason and one reason alone. They've come to testify that our Lord and Savior is there for us, that he cares about us. And for some reason, we as humans, we as supposed followers of Christ, are still blind. Remember how I started off this with talking about Andy Stanley's thought on how people treat his kids? This is why I'm okay with talking about kids, because it's true. We need to honor the kids. Remember that? I feel the same way. If you mistreat or hurt my kids, it doesn't matter how nice you are to me. It doesn't matter if you sing songs to me or bring me gifts or praise my holy name. It doesn't matter, because if you mistreat or hurt one of my kids, there is nothing you can do to make it up to me. You have to make it up to my kids. And there's a reason for that. Let's look at the Lord's Prayer, just how it starts. Our Father, who art in heaven, There is symbolism all throughout the scripture, and I think Jesus is pointing us to this all the time. Scripture points to the concept of a family. Jesus being the groom, the people of God being the bride. The whole idea of how God is our Father, and Jesus referred to as the Son. That symbolism is here because we've been given this blessing called the family. And that blessing called the family is supposed to be a little bit of heaven on earth. This thing called the family is supposed to point us back to Christ at all times. And yes, many of us, me included, come from broken homes. Many of us, me included, come from cruel families. Many of us have a hard time going home to visit our families during the holidays. There's excitement for us, but there's also in the back of our minds this concept of when is the shoe going to drop? That mentality is because of the fall, but God, in his infinite wisdom, shows us through Scripture and through the body of believers what a true family looks like. God, through Scripture and through the body of believers, shows us what a true family of God is supposed to act like, what we're supposed to be like, how we're supposed to behave, and he does that through his body. It is hard to say that you want to love God when you don't love his body. Yeah, sometimes the body of Christ can be hard, but with grace and truth, we get a little glimpse of heaven being connected with the body of Christ. But it doesn't just stop there. If you mistreat or hurt my kids, if you don't honor my kids, and I can't help but think about how that right there, mistreat and not honoring my kids, how that points to Christ. Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by how you love one another. He doesn't say by being a part of the body of Christ. He doesn't say going to church a couple of times a year is going to honor him. He doesn't say going to church once or twice a month will honor him. He doesn't say going to church. He says being a part of the body of Christ, loving one another, building one another up. We're called to fulfill our calls, and yet we think we can be Christmas and Easter Christians. We're called to build one another up because we're called to go out and fulfill the Great Commission. We're called to bring love, hope, peace, and joy into a lost and dying world. And as we go through this Christmas season, this season that has turned into gift giving, let's remember the gift we have been given already. And let's remember that the best gifts we can ever give are the gifts of love, hope, peace, and joy, which can only be found in our Lord and Savior. Because in doing so, in loving one another as the Lord has loved us, in building up the body of Christ, that is what honoring the Lord looks like. I wouldn't want anyone here or around the world's only taste of heaven to be on a Christmas or on an Easter. I want people to witness Christ. I want people to understand that Jesus loves them. Because if we can do it just once or twice or even once a week, we have to ask ourselves, are we mistreating the Son? And I think we are. So let's honor the Son. Let's be the body of Christ and love one another as Christ has loved us. Let's be the body and bring hope, peace, love, and joy to a lost and dying world. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you this morning or this evening. Long day. Thanking you that you are there. Thanking you that you keep opening our eyes and that all we need is faith the size of a mustard seed. Grow that mustard seed, Lord. Draw us close to you. Give us the desire to honor you and follow you, even though we know we will stumble and fall and mess up all the time. Draw us close to you. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.